Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres will be looking to take the win and this series with their third of three in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. Meanwhile, back here in San Diego, Jordan Carruth has come strolling into the studio as if he owns the place.
He doesn't feel like he needs to work his way back into this lineup, feel his way around the teammates, see where he really belongs with this type of roster. I think if you come back like that, you're kind of, I don't know, it's not a drop the mic moment, but it's kind of a I'm back moment. Yeah.
And despite the fact that the Padres are in Arizona, Randy Jones is here. But don't worry, his luxury accommodations out there are being tended to.
You've got the Randy Jones estate you've got to worry about back in Scottsdale.
Yes.
So what's that process like?
He has to have two swimming pools.
Two swimming pools?
One salt and one chlorine.
Oh, so you like freshwater pool and a saltwater pool.
Yeah.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jordan Carruth and Randy Jones.
All right, I'm back. Randy Jones is back as well.
I'm back.
Fresh off the estate in Scottsdale, Arizona. Nice travel time in, Randy Jones.
What's that all about?
What is that all about? Why haven't you invited me to this estate yet?
I haven't heard about it yet.
It's news to you?
Yeah.
News to you. We're getting ready for Arizona and the San Diego Padres, wrapping up their series tonight from Chase. It is the third game of a three-game series. Padres take game one. Arizona takes game two.
It's another rubber match.
You know what that means tonight, RJ. It means it's a rubber match.
Always the rubber match. We get a lot of those, don't we?
Don't we?
We were really good about winning that first game, you know, and then all of a sudden in the second game, then you got the rubber match. Got to win more rubber matches. That's all there is to it.
How often is the term rubber match used in a clubhouse?
Not very often.
Like never, no. Maybe?
Well, when you got 162 games. Come on. There's no rubber match.
You're going to run into a couple of those.
Yeah, you're going to just grind through all of them. Try to win them all.
Well, the Padres did take game one of this series. Game two goes to Arizona. We can look back to last night before we start looking ahead. The lineups are out for tonight's game, and we should give you the news that Justin Upton, not in tonight's lineup. He is available to pinch hit, but give you that news right off the bat. Mm. Justin Upton not in the starting lineup tonight as they wrap up this series. So we can look at some of the things that happened last night. 6-4 the final. Justin Upton, one of those guys. He hits a home run, kind of continues this nice second half he's got going.
Yeah, definitely. You know, three hits last night, just a triple short of the cycle, if you want to put it that way. But, you know, swinging the bat nicely. You know, then it compounds it when you lose a baseball in the lights, like you lost that low liner. Left, it goes for a triple, kind of compounds everything. But I think, you know, when you watch that game last night, it was just, you know, basically the bullpen just kind of falling apart. Was really the big difference in that game.
It was, and it's the conversation that's been had both last night and today. The manager, Pat Murphy, spoke about that a lot last night. We even heard Mike D this morning on the Mighty 1090 addressing the seventh inning woes so far this season for the San Diego Padres. But let's stick with Justin Upton a little bit, a guy who's not in the lineup, hits a home run last night, sitting at 275 in September. I mean, it's been very interesting to watch this guy go month by month. He's been somewhat very, very hot, very cold. It depends on what month you want to look at. In June, he hits below 200. In July, he hit .162. Mm. But things have definitely turned around for Upton in August and September.
Well, you know, like they say, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You know, you're going to have the peaks and valleys. We've seen Matt Kemp do it. We've seen almost every player go through it sooner or later, you know, and it's just going to happen. And I think overall Justin Upton is, you know, when you get down to the end of the year, what do the numbers look like? That's really what it's all about. And I think, you know, it looks like his numbers are going to be, you know, Justin Upton-type numbers. That's what they're going to be.
And you know what surprises me? And I know it's been a conversation so far this season. It's nothing breaking. It's nothing new. But Justin Upton, we see him hit a home run on the road last night. Arizona, a little bit different park than, let's say, AT&T, let's say Petco Park. But his numbers at Petco have been very, very good. And
yes,
they've been very different on the road. So it was nice to see him hit the long ball there on the road last night.
Well, I hope that would bode well for his free agency, but I'm not sure that's going to be a factor. But I do like the idea.
You don't think that's a factor at all?
Maybe a little bit, but I don't know if it's going to be enough, Jordan. I really don't.
The home run totals really aren't that different. 15 home runs at home, 11 home runs on the road. The biggest difference you see with Upton in the splits away from Petco Park is his batting average. At Petco Park this year, he's hitting .297. Mm. On the road, he's hitting .216.
Yeah.
Well, it's a huge difference.
That's a huge difference. I didn't realize that it was that you know, far apart.
Right. And you can go into the deeper numbers if you want. Yeah. I know how much you love going deep into those numbers. But slugging, there's quite the separation there as well.
Usually I look at a guy that can either hit or he can't hit.
And when you look at Justin Upton, what do you see?
He can hit.
He can hit.
Yeah.
Can he?
I mean, as far as being a former pitcher, what you look at is, you look at a guy, can, you know, does this guy get your attention in the lineup? You bet he does. You know, Upton, Kemp, these guys, hey, they get your attention every single day, and I don't care what they're hitting.
So going back to last night, Upton does hit the home run, but the storyline, you've already brought it up, the seventh inning, Kevin Quackenbush comes into the game, and a home run is hit that kind of just blows up the seventh inning. Five runs scored by Arizona, and they end up winning 6-4.
Yeah, and it's just, it's unfortunate. You know, once again, Tyson Ross, a really good start for Tyson. Did a good job. Pitch count got up. Had to come out of the game. And prototypically, a bullpen that usually stays right there and keeps us in the ball game. But, you know, here of late, they have really struggled with consistency. And Quack's had a few bad outings here, really struggling with location. And once saw it again last night. Pollock, you know, having a good year, solid hitter for the Diamondbacks. And, you know, he spins around looking for a fastball, first pitch, got it.
Yeah, he was waiting for it. He was asked after the game, and he said he wanted to see fastball, and that's what he saw, and that is exactly what he did with it. He sent it to the left field seats. And so if you look at it, I mean, this is something that the Padres do obviously keep track of, the scores by inning. If you look at it, the seventh inning really doesn't look that bad. I think it's been more of a recent thing. I think it's been a common thing when the team loses. The seventh inning seems to be a bigger issue. But overall this season, opponents have scored 86 runs in the seventh inning. Padres have scored 79. So only 7 runs different between the two.
I don't care if it's seventh inning, eighth inning, you know, in the sixth inning even. Well, you know, a lot of our starters haven't got through the sixth inning. So, I mean, just overall, it's compounded. And we've grown to have expectations of our bullpen in the past, how good it's been, how solid, slamming the door. You know, I don't know how many times this would be, everybody call it a six-inning game. I mean, if the Padres hit the lead after the sixth, the seventh, eighth, and ninth were doors, they just slammed the door on you.
Right, 7, 8, 9 being those innings. And the inning circled right now is the seven.
And we got to get back to that. We really do. You know, but I think what's really compounded, honestly, is, you know, not too many of our starters have honestly gone deep into games. And every once in a while, you're going to have a starter that'll go deep into a ball game and give the bullpen a rest. And we just haven't had that luxury.
Right.
We haven't.
Right.
No.
And we saw it. There's big games yesterday going on. The Cubs, Pirates, John Lester throwing the second game of a doubleheader.
Yeah, complete game.
Complete game of the second game. Saving the bullpen.
Yeah, you don't think that's big coming down here this weekend? You bet it is.
That is huge for
them.
That's
huge.
Absolutely. And if you look at it, the inning that actually separates the Padres from opponents the most is the sixth inning.
Mm.
Which I don't know if that's more about bullpen, starting pitching. I don't know what that reflects
on
the most.
That's a blend of both, Jordan, right there. I think that's a blend of both of them.
A blend, from your
estates.
Well,
because we've seen so many times our starters get in trouble in the sixth, you know, or they don't even get through the sixth, you know, or somebody comes in the bullpen will give it up. You know, the sixth inning would be a quandary to me right now, but I think that's just more of a process of trying to get, you know, more of the starters to get into the seventh inning. I mean, we really taxed this bullpen a lot this year, in my opinion. And it finally showed up.
Yeah. If you look at all the innings, inning by inning, the difference is not double digits in anything other than the sixth. And that's separated by 24 runs, 86-62.
Oof.
So it really does stand out, the sixth inning, when you look at the numbers. But really, just if you're looking at it over the course of an entire season, it's the sixth and the seventh. It's that transition from the starting pitching into trying to get to the eighth and ninth inning shutdown guys.
Yeah, and, you know, so we haven't seen Kimbrel in a while in a save situation, which is really frustrating. He's got to be frustrated by that. You know, and Joaquin Benoit, I mean, he's your eighth inning guy, but he's not going to go 4 or 5 days straight in that scenario. You can't. So you got to have some other guys, some staples in there that'll solidify that. And you know, that's going to be the important thing.
And part of the storyline with the Padres as this season continues to wrap up is definitely looking ahead to 2016. And one of the things that the Padres most likely will address in the offseason is maybe trying to find someone to really lock down that seventh. I would assume they feel pretty comfortable with Benoit in the eighth, Kimbrel in the ninth. Just closing that little gap of the sixth and seventh might be on top of one of the to-do lists.
There's going to be some changes. if Kimbrell and Ben Wall are still here.
Correct.
You're making an assumption there.
I have to go off of what is here.
I agree. You know, but I mean, a lot of question marks, and it's just part of the game to see what AJ is going to do, you know, with his staff and what he wants to try to do, and, you know, who has value and what can he get for that person. And a lot of factors going to go in there. So it might be totally different, you know, when we get to, you know, spring training of 2016. You know, but I think, like, Brendan Maurer, I think they're going to try to make him a starter. I don't think he's going back to the pen. He's healthy. I think they really like him in that starting role. He's got the repertoire for a starting pitcher. He's got
right.
the mindset for it. So I think potentially get up here. He's got to, you know, I think basically he's got to, you know, think about that. And they might test the waters in spring training with that.
We got to bring up RJ.
RJ's here. Well, since Kastner was pitching, I'll give him one more shot. I brought my bird dog in. Wore the camo hat. You know,
camo Kastner collar. Night.
Come on, man. I want to see him get it done.
Second appearance on Padres
yeah,
Social Hour.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Little guy. He's doing
getting to
good.
Run around Petco
sit
Park.
Up. Hey, sit. You sit here. Stay. Yeah. You don't like it, but you're going to do
That's
it.
That's how exciting.
Yeah.
Yes. Very nice. Very nice. So we talk about maybe bringing Mauro to the starters. One guy who is going to have surgery coming up is something we'll talk about next segment. News from Josh Johnson. I want to get your thoughts about Josh Johnson. Also, Pat Murphy getting ejected last night seems to be somewhat of a common thing.
The
so I want to bring that up.
Wow.
Fifth time.
Yeah.
I want to get into that a little bit as well. So if you want to join the conversation, you can on social media, on Twitter, use the hashtag PadresSH. You can ask RJ or RJ any question you would
That's
like,
right.
and I promise you both will answer. We'll get answers out of both of them by the end of the show. Absolutely. This weekend, help create a world without cancer. There is still time to join, pedal the cause, and raise money for San Diego's cancer-fighting centers. You can ride in the event this weekend. It's September 18th through the 20th. That is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Or you can easily donate to the cause. To learn more or register, visit sdpedal.org or text pedal to 41444 to donate today. RJ, and myself will be back. Padres Social Hour on Fox Sports San Diego.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back in. Padres Social Hour presented by United. I'm Jordan Carruth.
You are.
He's Randy Jones. That's RJ as well on the couch.
Yep.
And the tweets are rapidly coming in, Randy Jones. And you know what the people want.
What?
They want RJ to have his own Twitter account.
I don't think that's happening, RJ.
I don't know if that's exactly up to you. I think people out there could create this Twitter account for you. And we are potentially providing screenshots on television right now for maybe a very nice profile picture.
He's doing really well for, you know, being like about 14 months old.
Very mellow.
Well. Yeah. Takes a little time, a lot of time with him.
So no Twitter account for RJ. How about a Instagram? Any Facebook, Snapchat? Anything?
Hey, you guys out there, do whatever you want. You know, I know this RJ's not doing it.
I don't know if you want to open it up to that.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine. But that's been the common request.
Well, he's my
RJ
buddy.
Deserves his own Twitter account.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
At RJ on the couch, maybe.
Ooh. Good call.
There it is. Now you have the handle. I'll show you how to set it up later after the show. Deal?
Deal.
All right. So we brought up Josh Johnson before going to break. And the news comes out today that Josh Johnson, starting pitcher for the San Diego Padres, scheduled to have his third Tommy John surgery next week.
God bless the guy. I mean, he's really worked hard trying to get back. And you talk about a passion for the game, for him to be all these games and pulling for all the players and being involved with the team. And that's pretty special. And he really shows me something doing that. I mean, I spent a little time with the arm problems on the DL. I understand how frustrating that can be. And for him to go back and, you know, whatever the MRI showed, it might be something that they think they can repair and that he still has an opportunity, a possibility he could come back and pitch. And that's what it's really all about. And just a great guy, wants to compete. And hey, I wish him the best. I mean, that spring before he got re-hurt the second time, Jordan, nobody's thrown the baseball better in camp. And believe me, I watched many of his bullpens and the few innings that he pitched, and I was really, really impressed. you know, with what I saw. I was excited about the idea of having him on, you know, with us. But, you know, overall, you know, it just hasn't come to happen that he can join the rotation. But if he was healthy, he could really be a great add.
Right. So sympathetic. That's kind of the initial reaction to it all, because he's gone through so much just to get himself back in a position to potentially return. And instead,
potentially return, yeah.
And instead, it's going to be yet another series of rehab. So, Josh Johnson, Tommy John in 07, he has it to start the 2014 season, and he's going to have another one to end his 2015 season.
I just wish him the best. Hopefully, we'll see him in the spring. Hope maybe it's a minor Tommy John surgery. I hope it's not a complete tear again. If not, you know, it doesn't look good, but hey, I'm all for it. Just give him an opportunity. I don't know if the Padres had the patience to try to re-sign him or just invite him to camp, what they might be doing, but I would assume that's what's going to happen with him.
Right, and the Padres have shown that patience from last season, because in 2014, surgery to start the year coming out of spring training, and they give him a deal coming into 2015 just for that opportunity in case he does come back. And so we've seen the Padres do that, and this we'll see if third time can really get it done for Josh Johnson. So sympathy, obviously, for that Padres starting pitcher having to go through that once again.
Yeah. I mean, I really feel for him because it's a tough go, long haul. A lot of work, a lot of hours, but he wants to do it. He still has a passion for the game, and hopefully it'll work out for him.
Yeah, our best wishes to Josh Johnson.
Now, was that the AMR injury report?
That's exactly what that was,
was
RJ.
It?
That was the AMR injury report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical response team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe in San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amrsandiego.com. So we mentioned it in the last segment as well. Pat Murphy getting ejected last night, eighth inning. A little bit of a theme going on here with Pat Murphy, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he's on pace, man.
He's fun to watch when he gets fired up.
We lock him up as a manager job. We might be setting a new record here.
And it's been brought up on Social Hour before. I remember an episode with Jesse and myself bringing this up. We actually broke down the percentages of Bobby Cox and how often he was getting thrown from games because, as we all know, he leads all of Major League Baseball.
He leads
in history.
The world.
Yeah. He leads the world in ejections. He finished with 161, three of those coming in the postseason, including World Series games. So Bobby Cox, 161. He averaged an ejection one out of every 28 games.
Wow. That's pretty good.
That once a month.
And that just wasn't arguing balls and strikes like prototypically it is today.
It's a lot of things.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I remember, I mean, one of the World Series games, you accidentally throw in a helmet hoping it would stay in the dugout, kind of made its way out into the field. So umpires were kind of forced to do something there. But one out of every 28 games, you want to take a guess how often Murphy's getting the heave-ho?
One out of every
16.
Ooh. He could get on pace.
He is well on pace.
I chuckled a little last night that he mentioned, all he said is, where was that pitch? And he got thrown out.
Right.
I got a feeling he might have said a little more than that.
You think?
I'm thinking.
I heard that, too. That was on the Padres flagship today.
Yeah, after the post game, I was listening to it, and I kind of grinned and went, I think you might have said a little more than that.
You know? He doubled down on that today.
Did he?
He absolutely doubled down. He almost sounded as if he not wanted the opportunity, but if presented an opportunity to go out and have a conversation, he would have, but he was tossed before even given that opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, you should get your money's worth. You're going to get tossed. Whatever.
Whatever?
Yeah, we'll see.
Whatever. One thing, I was surprised to hear from you when we brought this up. I was expecting us to be completely opposite on the next segment. The next topic we're going to talk about. Realignment. It was something that was brought up yesterday on Padres Social Hour. We're going to continue that conversation. And the man who wrote the article came up with the idea. Jesse Spector from Sporting News is going to join us a little bit later in the show. But I want to get your thoughts a little bit on what realignment could look like for California teams.
I like it.
You do like it.
I do. Well, I think
I was expecting a very old school mentality. Don't shake it up. We've done it this way for a long time. Don't mess with it.
No, let's mess with it.
Let's mess with it?
Yeah.
All right, let's mess with it next. Let's see how crazy.
Let's do that.
Let's see how crazy we can get it before you start saying, yeah, maybe it's a little too much. That's the goal.
Yeah, I mean, a couple make sense. West Coast, East Coast, then let's talk about it.
Okay, let's talk about that next. United Airlines, proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Padres Social Hour from the AMR Studios will continue next.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back in. It's Padres Social Hour. We're inside the AMR Studios at Evans Tire and Service Centers. Buy two select tires and get two free with quality name brand tires in 16 convenient locations. Why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy two, get two. Randy Jones with us. RJ is with us on the couch as well. I'm Jordan Carruth, and the tweets keep coming in. RJ is obviously the star of the show.
He's great.
We would have no other way.
A lot of company to know.
A lot of freedom with RJ.
Well,
able to just jump off the couch,
cruise
around Petco Park.
It's part of socializing, a dog like this. This is great, from training him and kind of getting used to other people and what to do out here. Even at this young age, he does pretty well. I've been pretty impressed with him.
Absolutely. I mean, it is the social hour, so why not RJ be social
running
around Petco?
Exactly.
As if this is the huge backyard for RJ. Could you ask for a better backyard if you're a dog?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. So we're still trying to get someone to come up with a Twitter account for RJ. We'll see if that can happen by the end of the show. But also, we talked about Pat Murphy getting ejected last night, RJ. And something we'll talk about this segment, realignment. Shuffling some things around. This is something that I've always considered with Major League Baseball, because I've always had the question growing up as a Padres fan here in San Diego, why don't the Padres and Angels play each other every single season?
Well, once you started interleague play and you blended everybody together, all 30 teams together, why not change it? Now the old school, sure, the tradition, you want to go back to that. That's my favorite. I mean, you should see American League teams at the All-Star game in the World Series, or you play exhibition game. And, for me, that's just fine. That's just old-school baseball. But if you're going to have interleague play and all this stuff, then why not just, restructure the whole thing.
Really? The entire league?
Why not?
To me, baseball is such a regional sport. It is I think ratings will prove this very much so. People in San Diego, they're watching their Padres play. They're not always turning on the Marlins-Mets game or whatever. Throw out whatever teams you want to.
Since you play in your own division, you play each other 18 times. You think the ball club would save a little bit of money?
In travel?
Oh, are you kidding me? You could save a lot of money.
Yeah, well, given that it is such a regional thing, why not play the teams that are closest to you?
If you're not playing well, then obviously, if you're playing, if you're going up to Anaheim to play the Angels, bus them. Why fly up there? That's silly.
Take the coaster.
Yeah. Take the coaster.
Throw them on
the train.
Get your
own car.
Yeah.
I like it.
Why not?
That's really cool.
That is really cool, isn't it?
I can see some cross promotions in this.
Yeah. So what would your division be for the San Diego Padres?
Well, I just take, like we had up on the screen earlier. I would put all the West Coast teams together. Why not?
You would go with the California division.
Yes. Why not? The interleague play and stuff, that'd be a great division. That'd be fun. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
The more you can regionalize and localize these divisions, I think the better for a lot of things, whether it's ratings, tickets, ballpark experience, fans just interacting with one another.
I think you gotta let's project it out a little bit. I mean, we saw five teams in the California division,
right?
If you want to call it, or the West Coast division,
call it what you will.
Yeah,
maybe the Golden State division if you want.
But also, I know if there's 30 teams, are you talking about having six divisions?
Well, you can go down several different ways with this. If you want to limit the divisions, you can change. It could change a lot of
very things. Interesting, because that changes a lot. You're going to have six divisional, champions. Okay. That's, no wild card. Or do you still have
sneak in a one-game wild card still?
I don't know.
If possible.
It's interesting.
But if you actually had every single team from California playing each other every single year, having those Anaheim trips. The Dodger trips already happened. The San Francisco trips already happened. There's a lot of Oakland A's fans around, and obviously just being a California team, if you can get the entire state in one division and then kind of create some type of chase for the California Cup, if you will, who's going to be the champion of the state, whether they go on to win the World Series or not, there'd be a lot of dynamics and a lot of layers to something like
that. There'd be a lot of dynamics to a lot of things, how they structure it. And I mean, are you penalizing the West Coast teams, though? So only one of these teams is going to be able to be in the playoffs. You know, you're going to have certain scenarios where, you know, hey, the two best teams in all of Major League Baseball could be in this division.
It could be.
And only one's going to show up.
Well, this is all
interesting.
This is all being sparked from an article being written by Jesse Spector of the Sporting News. And he talked about the series that we just saw between Texas and Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these two teams have not always been in the same division. They are now. They're in the middle of a great, great divisional chase down the stretch. Texas walks off Houston again last night, and all of a sudden they have first place. And these are two teams in Texas that normally did not play each other all the time.
And how exciting is this? This is good baseball.
It is great baseball. Were you watching this game last night by
yes,
chance? Okay.
By chance, you bet we were.
Okay, all right then.
Well,
the ninth inning. And you
this
go
is what baseball's all about right here.
Base hit. Then all of a sudden you have the sacrifice fly to give the Rangers not only the win, a walk-off win, which is always going to be exciting, as you can tell. I wish we had Jesse Agler here to name that mascot because I don't know the name of that mascot. But it would just create this extra drama, and they take first place along with the
Now they're half a game up, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's exciting with what
And it goes back to the regionalization of it all. You can create those rivalries.
If all the scenarios
you can help them a little bit.
And the scheduling, you know, that could be kind of interesting.
All right, but I think you're right. It provides a lot more questions than maybe answers.
Oh, yeah, you got to think this out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times you can't see the forest for the trees, and this is one of those right now, Jordan. There's a lot of things out there that we're not putting into the equation. I know we're not.
Okay, you know who we should ask about that? Jesse Spector.
That's a great idea.
Let's do that next. How about that?
I'm loving it.
All right, he's going to join Padres Social Hour next. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball, including RJ, Petco. The power of together. Padres Social Hour will continue next. Please add that Twitter account for RJ at #PadresSH. We'll be back after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back in to Padres Social Hour. We are in the AMR studios. The star of the show, RJ the dog. Randy Jones is a star as well, and I'm Jordan Carruth, so I'm on the separate side of the two stars, absolutely, and RJ really showing off the skills today here on the show.
Yeah, he's having a good time.
Absolutely, and joining us now on the Cholula Hotline is going to be Jesse Spector from the Sporting News, and he is writing something that we were just talking about here on Padres Social Hour last segment. Jesse, welcome in.
Well, thanks for having me.
So we were just talking about realignment, and I guess we can start with this. What motivated you? What got the wheels turning on writing something like this?
Watching the Astros and Rangers and them having what is now a real rivalry that is a lot of fun. And you know, you think about how long the Astros were a team in the National League, and they made the move to the American League, and it really didn't seem like much for a couple of years because the Astros have been down in the dumps, and the Rangers last year were a last place team, but you know they're playing for first place in the AL West, and it's exciting and fun. And you know it's 18 years now since Bud Selig proposed that radical realignment, and it's funny how interleague play has kind of blurred the lines between the leagues. Anyway, tomorrow night I'm going to be in Queens for Mets versus Yankees in September with playoffs on the line for both teams. Obviously, the Mets are a whole lot closer right now than the Yankees are. But, you know, to see these teams with local interest in both teams and bragging rights on the line, but more than that as well, I think it's something that's really interesting and something whose time probably has come.
You know, Jesse and I agree. I mean, BB and old school, and in the good old days. But now with interleague play, and I mentioned this earlier, I mean, we're playing each other anyway. So hey, why not do a realignment and have a Western Division or a California Division if you want it. That comprises all the teams right here on the West Coast.
Yeah, I think that one thing that would be a good selling point for everybody involved, especially the players, would be if you're going to stick with an unbalanced schedule, if you put all of the teams together in geographic alignments, what that would do for fatigue over the course of the year. And really, that winds up making a better on-field product because you have fresher players.
Sure, you got happier owners because they're not spending as much for all the travel and everything else, to be honest.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely,
kind of a win-win-win.
You kind of hinted towards it, Jesse, talking about regionalizing this. Can you speak a little bit to Major League Baseball and how much of a local sport it truly is? Fans just really interested in the team that is in the city in which they live and how important that is to a story like this.
Yeah, I think that you see it a lot in the other sports too, especially not so much the NFL, but the NBA and the NHL, it's that way. And New York, where I live, is playing games against Philly and Boston and Washington, no matter where they are. And the same thing out in California. You think of the Kings, the Ducks, and the Sharks, or you could think about the Clippers and the Lakers and the Warriors and the rivalries that those teams have been able to build up with each other over the years. I think that's something that. That goes back and forth, and if you have that opportunity to, say, create a Padres-Angels rivalry that's real and meaningful, why wouldn't you want to do that? How is that something that's not good for baseball at all? There's very much a borderline there between Orange County and San Diego that, puts you right there something that's really special.
Jesse, have you thought this out, though, are you talking about six-team divisions, five divisions?
I've thought this out, and that's 16 divisions, 5 divisions is actually what I'm going to be having up on Sporting News tomorrow.
Okay. That's cool, but I know that you think this all out, how it works out with 5 divisions, how the championship, would they be wild cards, that type of thing. I can't sit here and I can't think out that far right now, but. And does it all make sense when you really put some time into it?
Yeah, and I was actually in Charlotte at the Sporting News office this week, and we had a good conversation in the office about this. And really what we came up with and what I came up with was if you have 5 divisions, you have, obviously the 5 division winners make the playoffs, and then you have, in the way that I would do it, 6 wild card teams. So you'd have one additional wild card team or one additional playoff team to what you have now, where you have 10 teams now, you'd have 11 teams in this system. So it would be the 4 and 5 division winners would play against each other in what is the equivalent of the division series. 1, 2, 3 would each play the winners of those wild cards, which would be 6 versus 11, 7 versus 10, and 8 versus 9.
Ah.
I think that would be how you would do it to get down to 8 teams for the division series, and then obviously 4 for the LCS and 2 for the World Series.
And that does enter my demise, some pretty good ball clubs, obviously in this California or Western Division, where you could have 3 teams coming out of that division with, one winning the championship and 2 wild cards.
Yeah, would be something to see. And I think that the other thing that would create is the possibility to have. A Padres-Dodgers World Series. If that was the way that it broke down, that one won the division, one won the wild card, but went to the other side of the bracket, that some of these really great rivalries. How great would it be to see, Yankees versus Red Sox, Dodgers versus Giants for the World Series? That's something that is not possible now.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's a crazy thought process. And, what's intriguing, I'm looking forward to seeing your article. I mean, I can kind of figure out, the Western Division. I can pretty much probably get a pretty good idea about the Eastern Division. But the other ones, I'm going to be really intrigued to see how you put those together.
The one thing that I think might rub people the wrong way is splitting up the Cubs and Cardinals. And really, to me, it's something that I would rather not have done, but to make it fit and make it work, that's something that would happen. And that's, to me, that's a rivalry that has a lot of heritage, but at the same time, how often have the Cubs and Cardinals really played games that were truly meaningful?
Yeah.
You know, aside from this year.
That's a great,
it's been
great
a long
point.
History of Cardinals great, Cubs bad.
Yeah, have a good year and play each other in the playoffs. Then you got memorable games.
Yeah.
Jesse, what's the most common reaction you get when talking about a subject like this?
I think the most common reaction is you're out of your mind and don't do this, or you know, what's this going to do to the DH? I had somebody this morning say, you know, if Phillies were to play in a league with a DH, I would never watch them. I'm like, really? That's what would cut you off from baseball forever is watching the Phillies have a DH? And it's like, you've never watched them play interleague? And the guy was like, I've only probably watched them play like 10 interleague games ever. I'm like, well, if that really ruins baseball for you, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
But at the same time, that day's coming. And interleague play has hastened that, I think. That, you know, whether it's the next CBA or the one following, I think that, you know, the DH is going to be there. And because the owners just have too much money invested in pitching.
Well, you're going to have
these guys up.
You're going to have a robot umpire anyway, or, you know, come on. I mean, the game is just headed that way, and I don't know what year, you know, if we're going to be around, but, you know, sooner or later they're going to take that human element out of it.
Yeah, Jesse, while you're making all the traditionalists mad, what are your thoughts on robot umpires?
I'm all for it. You know, the reason that we have instant replay now is because there were several calls in big playoff games that were blown by the human umpires and that everybody on their HDTV could clearly see were blown calls, and the technology was available to make it happen, to get that, you know, to get instant replay in there, and they finally did it. And I think the same thing is going to be true. You know, so many local broadcasts now, and ESPN on every Sunday night game has that K-Zone up there, and everybody can see, is that a strike, is that not a strike? Now, will that take an important skill out of the game in catcher framing? Yeah.
Oh, big deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the important thing is that we all see, when we're watching the game, what is and is not a ball and strike. Why shouldn't they be able to get that right on the field? And, you know, umpires have an impossible job. Even if you stand there watching a guy, you know, in spring training in a bullpen. I remember going down to Vero Beach the first time that I covered spring training and being there in Florida and just watching a guy on the side thrown in the bullpen. And, you know, he's cranking up to 85. I can't tell whether that pitch is on the corner or off the corner. You know, umpires have a ludicrous job, and they get it right an amazing amount of the time. But they mess it up a lot because it's borderline impossible.
Well, you know, Jesse, if you're going to do that, I mean, you know, like the human element is what we love. But if you can't yell at an umpire when he messes up, okay, well, then forget about it. Then let's just throw it all away. I mean, you know, like I can't even imagine – trying to go out there and pitch, and I throw the perfect pitch, and I can't argue about it. I can't yell at the umpire. I can't do a thing. That's ludicrous. It's that human element that makes the game. So if you're not going to let me yell at him, then go ahead and put a robot.
Yeah, Pat there. Murphy would not be for this, guys.
Yeah.
Well,
you could even yell at a robot and feel better. At least you won't get kicked out.
Sure.
You know.
You could still have, I think you would still have the umpires, you know, human umpires on the field, but I think that it would be up to the robot to determine what's the ball and what's the strike, especially as, you know, pitchers continue to push the velocity higher and higher and they're throwing deeper and crisper breaking balls. It's, you know, the umpire can be there to make safe out calls. There's no reason not to have
hey,
that.
Hey, Jesse, I'm in, man. Stir it up. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Come out with this. Let's realign. Let's do it all.
We look forward to reading it tomorrow on Sporting News. We appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks so much for having me. That
was great. Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse Spector, sporting news right there, talking about realignment, part of the Cholula Hotline.
Let's stir it up.
And we talked about it earlier. It's the one question I always had growing up in San Diego, rooting on the Padres. I just never understood. Why don't they play the Angels every single year? I don't know. Realignment.
Never know.
Something to think about. The Cholula Hotline, brought to you by Cholula. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. We'll continue the conversation next on Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, we're in the AMR studios. Padres Social Hour. Randy Jones, RJ the Dog, and I'm Jordan Carruth taking you up until Padres pre. We're getting ready for Arizona, San Diego. They wrap up their series tonight from Chase Field.
Rubber game.
As Randy Jones loves to say, it's the old rubber match.
That's good stuff.
Got to get to a couple tweets. It is Padres Social Hour. You can join the conversation. Just use the hashtag PadresSH. And getting a lot of good tweets today. Obviously, the focus has been around RJ the Dog. This is from Betty Eckhouse. I want that puppy dog.
Yeah, he's a cute little dog.
Absolutely.
Good boy.
Running around Petco Park, having a great time.
Oh,
another
he loves
one.
It here.
From East Village Times, shaking my head, Randy Jones. Thought you would be old school for sure. So only one MVP and Cy Young Award total. Too many dynamics.
Ah, it's true. You know, if you're getting rid of, you know, the American League, National League, or, you know, maybe not. You know, maybe you do. You split them up, and you still have an American and National League, and you still have two awards. But remember, when they came out, that's all there was years ago. When Sandy Koufax won the Cy Young Award, they didn't give out two of them. He was the best pitcher in all of baseball.
So it's been done before.
Oh, yeah. That's where it started. Then it went to American League, National League, two Cy Youngs, two MVPs. So, hey, might be going back to a little old school, but, you know, I get it. I understand it. You know, most on tradition, I'm pretty much old school. But I'm just saying the way the game's headed, the way it's trending, you know, I think eventually I don't see the American League giving up the DH. I do see the DH coming into the National League sooner or later one of these years.
As do
I. It's going to happen.
Seems as if everyone is kind of
it's
going along with that narrative.
It's just, you know, it's common sense tells me that's going to happen.
And it really, I think, takes people aback a little bit when they hear maybe there could be a Padres-Dodgers World Series. And that just initially it doesn't make any sense. Because you're like, wait a minute, same division, National League, they can't play each other.
But it's possible.
It's one of those stories, the deeper you dig into it, the more layers there are, and really the more questions that need to be answered. So it seems as if you can't go too deep into it, but I think there's definitely reason
to investigate it. You logically look at it, if you write it all down and you look at it, which we'll get a chance to do tomorrow when Jesse's article comes out.
Right.
You can see where some of those divisions really could be skewed. You know, where three games over 500 might win a division. It's possible. We've seen it before in baseball today. So, you know, it'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah. Really good questions coming in. Smart audience just knowing Cy Young, that'd only be down to one. What is it going to mean for a lot of things?
Yeah, good point.
Very good stuff. A lot of layers to that story. Join the many Darth Vaders, Chewbaccas, and Stormtroopers as they invade Petco Park Saturday, September 26th. It's going to be Star Wars Day here at Petco Park. Come to the game dressed in your best Star Wars costume. You can purchase a special ticket package and get a custom-themed T-shirt only available for the first 2,000 fans with a Star Wars Day ticket. Get tickets at Padres.com/Star Wars. Randy Jones in the house, RJ the Dog in the house as well. We'll wrap up Padres Social Hour next.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, we're presented by United. This is Padres Social Hour. We're going to wrap things up quickly here. Randy Jones, RJ the Dog, I'm Jordan Carruth, and we will have time to look at the starting lineup. We told you earlier, Justin Upton, not a part of the starting lineup. Pat Murphy saying he is available off the bench if need be, but Will Myers will lead things off. Yonhervis Solarte will bat second and play third base. Matt Kemp is in right field batting third. Brett Wallace at first base and hitting cleanup. Jed Jerko at that shortstop position will bat behind Wallace, and he'll bat before second baseman Corey Spangenberg. Melvin Upton Jr. is in center field, and we have Austin Hedges behind the plate. Andrew Cashner on the mound. Cashner looking for the win. Padres looking to take the series. Any predictions tonight, RJ?
Hey, Padres win. Cashner's going to light it up today. I want him to have a good outing.
RJ the dog, any predictions?
Yeah, RJ, he knows.
All right. Good luck to those Padres. Thanks for tuning in. Padres Social Hour.